Well, women are better than men, or at least that's what we learned in this year's NCAA March Madness tournaments. Both men and women's finals are over, and we have a lot to talk about in regards to that. We also have to get to the absolute sheer disappointment that the Kings are right now.
Do we have to?
I think we're obliged to. I think we have to. Just as fans of the team.
I blame you.
Why?
You're talking all this stuff about, oh, this team, it's so good. Their highs are so good. Yada, yada, yada.
I said their highs are better than last year's team, but that also means their lows are worse as well. I said last year's team was more consistent, even though I think if you could give me the best of one team and the best of another team, I still would pick this one.
No, this team is doggy doo-doo.
Whatever. how did you spend your previous weekend watching the tournament games? What were you able to sit down and really get into them, or did you catch like passive highlights?
More highlights, definitely, for sure. It was tough for me watching college basketball. I feel like there, to me, really the interest wasn't there. The interest was definitely more there for the women's. I think I actually sat down and watched more women's games than I did men's games this year.
I agree. And, you know, you wouldn't be the only one to say that. We got the numbers for the broadcast for both the men and women's game. And the women's game, I believe, pulled about 18 million viewers at its peak.
Dang.
And the men's pulled 14. So it wasn't even really close as to what captured everybody's interest. The women's game was way more interesting. And truthfully, from start to finish, I thought the women's game, the women's final, was just way more compelling than the men's game. You know, Caitlin Clark got off to that really hot start. She had 18 in that first quarter. She went on an absolute heater. She cooled down the rest of the game. She still finished with 30. But the biggest storyline of the game for me was so I guess it really can be summed up in two words. It was bench points. Iowa had zero bench points. Wow. Nobody on their bench scored. Not a single person. And then you go to South Carolina, and they had, I believe it looks like, over 30 points off their bench. That was the biggest difference for me. Like, Iowa was not getting any kind of production from their bench unit. Now, granted, only seven players played. And one of the players who came off the bench only played for 5 minutes. So their bench players didn't get a lot of floor time anyway. But irregardless, they just weren't getting any production from anybody really outside of Kate Martin and Caitlin Clark. And then South Carolina, I mean, it just really seemed like they had two starting fives that they could roll out there. And they were going to be just fine. The game was very competitive, yes, but I also felt like, for as competitive as it felt, it didn't really feel in doubt that South Carolina was going to win that game. I don't know how you felt, but that's kind of where I stood on it.
Yeah, I think the better team won over the best player, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're certainly really talented. I think it was definitely interesting today. I think an image popped up of like all the like incredible prospects that are coming out into the WNBA draft that were just littered throughout this tournament. And I mean, South Carolina the whole year was the best team. So I think it was, yeah, rightly so. And this puts head coach Dawn Staley in a different stratosphere in terms of college coaching elites, and all those things can be true. I mean, I think most people are kind of pulling for, I don't know, I can speak for myself. I'm a passive watcher of women's college basketball. So it's like, oh, it would have been really cool to see the best college basketball player, period, having gotten a championship during her time.
Yeah. How would you sum up, as somebody who, and I know that you haven't been endowed in women's college basketball, and neither have I for a long time. How would you sort of sum up what you saw from Caitlin Clark this tournament run and just how she kind of, obviously she's outstanding, but there have been outstanding players in women's college basketball and the WNBA for a long time. So the fact that she was able to seemingly just capture everybody's attention, like, how would you sort of sum up your thoughts on her in this kind of tournament run?
And she kind of had to, right? Like, she had to play at, she had to be the best player in this entire tournament, because that was kind of the expectation from the mass media and the masses out there. And that, I mean, quite frankly, that was my expectation as well. It's like, if I can name one college basketball, women's college basketball player, it would be Caitlin Clark. So it'd be like, well, of course she's got to go off. And I mean, she delivered time and time again for this Iowa team. And it's so tough, because it's like, we want to go to, she's got that dog in him, or that she's like, she's one of those dudes, or she's like a bad man. Like, we have all these sayings and all these different phrases to describe like male athletes, and they have them having that killer instinct. But hey, she's got all of that and then some for a female athlete, for an athlete in general. She possesses all of those things, and it's just going to be really, really interesting to see what she does at the next level.
Yeah, I don't know why she's getting so much backlash. It just seems like people are just lining up to take shots at her for reasons I just can't explain. It kind of, in a way, feels like Taylor Swiftie to me.
Not now.
No, not now, but I mean from the standpoint of, like, the reasons seemingly behind why people are taking shots at her are, they just feel like they're completely hollow. Like, Caitlin hasn't done anything in interviews, like, hasn't given any responses that would, I feel, upset anybody. Her play on the court is absolutely phenomenal. I know that sometimes she can be a little bombastic with the referees, but the point I was making to my sister the other day was, you know, one of my absolute favorite players in the league is a total crybaby, and he happens to play on the Sacramento Kings, and his name is Sabonis. Now, he gets beat up the entire game, so there are certain times when I feel like he's justified for looking at the ref, but he does it a lot. He does it quite frequently, more so than I say Caitlin does. I just don't understand why people seem to be taking shots at her. I know that there were a couple WNBA players, former WNBA players, taking shots at her, saying that their game is, you know, may not translate right away. And, you know, she's been playing great against a bunch of, you know, college students and college athletes, but now she's going to be playing against, you know, grown women who have been playing basketball for a long time. Whatever. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's not. I don't know. She just seems like an easy target for people right now. And I don't understand why. And it really is disappointing, because I feel like she's done everything right up to this point. So for people to be just lining up to take shots at her, I don't understand it. And I find it distasteful, truthfully.
Yeah. Cheryl Swoop said, that it just won't be easy. Yeah. Will Caitlin Clark be a good pro? Absolutely. Will Caitlin Clark come into the NBA and do what she's doing right now immediately? Absolutely not. Not going to happen. I mean, that's, when you read the whole quote, it's not egregious. I think this just reminds me so much of guys like Charles Barkley, Scottie Pippen, Isaiah Thomas, like, guys that were relevant, like playing, not relevant, were playing in the 80s and 90s, and then talking about players today and being like, well, if they were back in the 80s and 90s, they would have gotten slaughtered because of how physical it was. Like, every single person is going to stick up for what their experiences and their allegiance are. So that, to me, that's all that is.
Yes, no, I agree with you. From that standpoint, it does feel very similar in that regard. But I guess my question is, what won't translate? Like, I feel like shooting That's, if you're a good shooter in college, chances are you're probably going to be a good shooter in the NBA. I feel like that's going to translate perfectly fine. And she's an outstanding passer, too. I think people forget that she also led the nation in assists as well. She's a great passer, and I feel like those two things together, maybe she's not going to average, you know, 30 points or anything like that, but she's still going to be an outstanding shooter, and she's still going to be a great passer. Like, I just, I, her game, I feel like, would translate just fine to the WNBA from that standpoint. It's not like she's, you know, a smaller center who's been beating up because she's strong on college players because she's stronger than everybody else. She's an outstanding shooter. She's a great ball handler.
Okay, I'm going to take offense to that. That was kind of targeted right at my game.
Right at your game? I guess it kind of was. It wasn't intentional, but I guess you're right. But yeah, I don't know. The not translating thing, whatever, I guess, but probably not. I kind of disagree. So either way, I think she's going to do I'm just assuming she's going to do a lot for the WNBA, and hopefully she makes that league a lot of money, because that would be really nice to see. Now, as far as the men's game, I found that one to be less entertaining. However, I will say, I have to get this out of the way right now. The putback dunk that happened in that game might have been the greatest putback dunk I've ever seen in my entire life.
Was it though?
I you know what? It's fun. I sent it to Josh, and he said it reminded him of an Aaron Gordon putback dunk.
Uh-huh.
I believe he did against the Kings, if I remember correctly. Oh no, it was the Celtics. Sorry. Yeah, I'm going to pull it up right now.
This year, right?
I believe so. I have it. Let's see. Yeah. So this was a month ago, against the Celtics. It was March 7th. It is very similar, but the thing is that, he doesn't come in – like, Aaron Gordon doesn't come in from the three-point line. Yes, he catches it extended, but, like, the guy on Purdue who comes in and dunks is, like, dunking over a few people. So the fact that he came running in from the three-point line, caught it as extended as he did, dunked over a few people, and it was an actual dunk and not kind of like a throw-in dunk, that was one of the best putback dunks I've ever seen in my life, irregardless of any level.
Camden Hyde, looks like.
Yeah, he's probably going to get an NIL deal just from that.
That was his only points of the game?
Yep, and he was the greatest player that entire night.
That's not – I mean, wait. What was the category that you put in? Did you say that, like, that was best in-game dunk that you've seen or something like that? What was the phrase that you –
Put-back dunk.
There's no way.
Oh, I think it was the only one. Like, I couldn't think of any readily off the top of my mind that stood out to me more. Like, there are obviously great alley-oop dunks and great just regular in-game dunks. Like poster, like my favorite poster of all time is that DeAndre Jordan one. That one's absolutely my favorite. But in terms of just straight up a putback dunk, yeah, I could not think of any better than that. And I feel like those big plays normally stand out in sports fans' mind. Like, I can think of plenty of very vivid three-point shots, very vivid game winners, and absolutely vivid dunks. But I don't have any, like, putback dunks off the top of my head. I will never forget that one.
Jordan's got one off of a free throw.
Well, Jordan sucked. Anyway,
wow.
The game. Give me your quick thoughts on the game.
Best team won, right? Best team in the entire tournament. We can kind of say the same thing, right? South Carolina ended up winning. UConn was the best team all year. Back-to-back champs. The thing that I heard Russillo talk about with a college basketball analyst that kind of jumped out to me, and I just went back to kind of verify it. The amount of, like, turnover that UConn's roster has gone through, because the fact that they've gone back to back, someone could be like, oh, well, I mean, yeah, they were the best team last year, and of course they probably were a good team this year, but they had three, they only returned two starters from last season, so they have three all new starters coming into this year, losing multiple like rotational guys, and the fact that they were able to dominate, shall we say, this tournament is, I don't know what it is. Like, college basketball now has definitely gone more so to college football. And then I think that a lot of the credit's got to go to the coaches in the fact that they're able to have this success with players rotating in and out.
Well, the team that played them the toughest was Alabama in the Final Four. It was a 14-point game. That was the closest anyone got in the entire tournament.
14?
14.
Wow.
Which is crazy. And you're right, yes. The fact that they were able to go back-to-back with basically two different teams. I got to say, I really liked their game plan against Zach Edey. I know that he had 37 points and 10 rebounds, but...
It worked. We did it.
Well, because here was the thing. It felt like Kentucky was like, all right.
UConn.
You can score. That's fine. Like, go ahead, score 37, score 50. We don't care. Nobody else is going to do anything. And that's how we're going to beat you. We're going to let you kind of have yours. We'll throw some double teams at you. But as soon as you pass out, we're running everybody off the three-point line. And that's just how it's going to be. And they never wavered from that. And to their credit, Zach Edey had 37, Braden Smith had 12, and nobody else had more than 5 points on the entire team. Purdue shot 7 three-pointers, and they only made one. One! And UConn shot 22. Now, granted, they only made six, but they were able to get up more, way more, than Purdue. I liked their game plan. From the standpoint of, instead of trying to take away Edey, which is just really hard to do, it's like, okay, fine. You're really good. We know that. We're going to let you score. Everybody else is going to have to try to contribute with the pressure that we're going to throw at them. And we bet that they can't. With how hard we're going to come at everybody else, there's no way that you're going to have enough firepower. And it was a perfect game plan. I loved it.
You loved it?
I did. And then UConn just played an absolutely beautiful game of basketball offensively. Like, they had 18 assists. Purdue only had 8. They were super active on defense. They were a very unselfish team. It just seemed like I don't even know what the right way to describe it was, other than it was like, hey, we're going to win this game as a team, not I'm going to go win this for us on this possession. It kind of felt very Spurs-like.
I was going to say that, yeah.
Yeah. And it was just really, really cool to watch.
Yeah, so you putting money down this year for UConn?
I mean, why? Well, I don't know why they wouldn't be the favorite going into next year.
I just had their roster up. I'd be curious to see who's going to be graduating from that team.
I think Klingon's probably – I think he's leaving. I'm not 100% sure.
Did you ask him?
I can text him.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'll let you know on that.
Okay. Yeah, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. I gotta make a few calls. He's a busy guy. He just won the championship, you know?
Well, he's got some free time then. No more practice.
I guess that's true. I guess that's true. But overall, as enjoyable as the game was, I did find the women's game more enjoyable. It just felt more exciting. It felt like the game was, I mean, neither game was necessarily in doubt, I would say. The better team definitely in the second half of both games felt like they were taking control, but the women's game felt more competitive for longer.
Okay.
And I don't know. There was just something about everything that was going. Like, I understand that UConn was, you know, the great, I don't even know what the right word is, like just steamroller of the NCAA tournament. But so is South Carolina. I mean, it was going to be an interesting storyline either way, right? Like in South Carolina, you were either going to have a perfect season or you were going to have Caitlin Clark winning a national title. And both storylines were just more fascinating to me than any of the ones going on the men's side.
No, I totally, yeah. Definitely get it. So now Dawn Staley is a three-time NCAA Division I champion. That's pretty amazing.
Absolute stud.
I mean, we're talking about in a world where UConn with Gino Auriemma was at an all-time high. They won, like, what, 11?
Too many to count, yeah.
Something like that. So UConn really doesn't need any more college championships, I feel like.
No.
Imagine being a kid on that campus.
I know.
Woo!
But the tournament is over, and it was a blast to watch. Hopefully next year it'll still be as exciting. I mean, at least from the women's side, because obviously they're losing their, I don't know if it's their most marketable player, because there are plenty of players in women's college basketball who are very marketable, but at least this year, their most marketable player. Hopefully that newfound interest that it seemed like the world had will still be there next year, because it's not like the game is going to get any worse. It's going to be just as fun, just as competitive. So there's no reason not to watch. So, however, I am finding reasons not to watch the Kings.
Give me three.
Okay. Well, one, they keep losing. Two, I just get sad. And then three, I just don't enjoy being sad. So they lost to the Thunder tonight.
They did.
I don't know what that means in terms of what their chances are now to get out of the plane. They would absolutely have to win out.
I think we're gonna have to just live with the fact that they're gonna be in the plan, man.
Here's the thing, because I don't know mathematically if that's 100% the case, because they play the Pelicans and the Suns, which are both the 6 and 7 seed, and that's who's above them right now. So if they find a way to beat both of them, and somehow, some way, the Suns, who at least at one point tonight were getting blown out by the Clippers, it was like 30-4, I think, in the first quarter. It is now 84-73, so they've started scoring. The Suns have back-to-back games against the Clippers. It's not impossible that they drop both, and then they finish with the Timberwolves. So the Suns do not have an easy remaining schedule. I'm not sure about the Pelicans. I think the last time we did this, we said that they had a fairly light schedule. They have us, the Warriors, and the Lakers. So it's really the Pelicans, I think, who they have the easiest schedule going forward. Like I said, I don't think mathematically they're totally out of getting that 6th seed, but they have to win out, and then they have to hope that the Suns just kind of stumble at the end in the Pelicans, which I don't think that that's going to happen, but it's still there.
I think the Lakers are going to catch it. I think the Lakers are more likely right now to be the 6th seed than the Kings.
That might be true.
LeBron's playing at an all-time high.
What is their remaining schedule? They're playing the Warriors right now. They're losing, actually.
Are they?
And then they finish with the Grizzlies and the Pelicans.
They got time, man.
They'll beat the Grizzlies. I don't know if they'll beat the Pelicans, but they should beat the Grizzlies. Yeah, it's a possibility. I mean, the Kings are locked into the play-in now, at least at the very minimum, because the Rockets don't have enough games to catch them. And the Rockets don't have enough games to catch the Warriors either. So they'll be in a play-in game at minimum. It's just a matter of where they end up and if maybe they can play their way out. But, man, hopes are – these past few games have really been an absolute gut punch, because that Knicks game
– Yep.
a couple weeks ago.
They were winning.
A couple days ago. I apologize. Did you watch that whole game?
No, I was working.
So I was watching pretty much that entire thing from start to finish.
All right, lay it out for me.
And they, that first half, I mean, everything was falling. And nothing was falling for the Knicks. So you kind of assumed that eventually it was going to even out. But it was one of those things where I was just sitting there and I was like, if the Knicks take the lead, they're not going to give it back to us. Mm-hmm. Like, it just won't happen. It just kind of had that feeling. Like, you know how when you're watching a game and you've, like, the momentum is with the Kings, but you're starting to feel like – everybody can kind of feel it in an arena. If you've been to a game or, like, really watch basketball, like, momentum is almost, like, palpable.
Yep.
You could just kind of feel it slowly moving in the Knicks' direction. Like, the Kings would move ahead by, like, 10, but then the Knicks would cut it to, like, 3. And then instead of going back up by 10, the Kings would go up by 7. And then the Knicks would cut it to 2. And it just kind of seesawed, and it was like, okay, there's going to come a point where we're not going to go back up again. And I'm really afraid that once it goes in the Knicks' favor, it's just going to be all downhill from there. And that's exactly what happened. As soon as the Knicks took the lead, that was it. That was all she wrote. You could just feel it happening, and that was so disappointing. And then they had the Celtics one, which, I mean, they shouldn't have won. They shouldn't have been that close. But it ended up being really close at the end. They dropped that one by 1 point. So that was two road games that you really wish you could have had. They blow out the Nets, which was great.
Yep.
And they're up by 20 against the Thunder today, and then they lose that one. It's like three games over the past 5 days where you're just like, guys, you should have won all three of these.
Yeah. It's just tough. Maybe I mean, that
the Celtics one.
Huh?
Maybe not the Celtics one. If you were going to say one that, like,
well, Brown was out and Derek White was out. So, I mean, the Celtics weren't at full strength.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Got a really bad Jason Tatum game where he only had 17 on 5 of 15 shooting, 1 of 6 from 3. Jesus. Sam Hauser went 1 of 13 from 3 in that game. I mean, yeah, that game was for the taking. I just don't.
Peyton Pritchard beat him. He had 21.
Hey, you know I'm not going to badmouth Peyton Pritchard.
No, I get it.
It's just this, and it's amplified for sure with the fact that Malik Monk is out.
Yes.
But the bench has just been, maybe that's been the biggest difference between the Kings of last year and the Kings of this year.
Mm-hmm.
The bench and overall the supporting guys, because I feel like Fox is putting up numbers. Sabonis, I mean, he just ended his double-double streak, but yeah. The dude's putting up crazy numbers. I'm hearing at least from Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo, who have votes this year, that they're not going to vote for Sabonis for All-NBA. But, hey, he's putting up crazy numbers this year. So those guys are there, right? It's the collective of everyone else that's just – maybe that's where the inconsistencies lie, where last year it was so – like, we know what we're getting from Kevin. We know what we're getting from Barnes. We know – even though Keegan's in his rookie season, he's still hitting these shots and all those things, right? Trey was giving you great minutes. Like, we just don't really know where the good minutes and the supporting cast really is this year.
Well, it's tough because Davion, so since the All-Star break, Davion is shooting 44% from the three-point line and 55% from the field, which is fifth amongst all guards in the
NBA. He's playing really well.
Yeah, he's been playing outstanding, so he's been giving a nice lift off the bench. I saw a stat about Alex Len saying when he's on the floor, he's top 10 in defensive rating since the All-Star break.
He gets a lot of blocks.
Yeah, he's been playing really well, but I agree with you from the standpoint of there's an offensive punch that's missing a little bit. Like, I don't feel like Trey is having those 10, 12, 15-point games that he was having.
Well, he's coming off injury, right?
He is coming off an injury.
But he went 1 for 7 today, and you got Davion that went 3 of 10. I mean, that's just – you need efficient. They both went a combined 2 of 11 from 3.
So you're getting great production from Keon. I just – that's been such a great pickup for the Kings. That's been outstanding. Harrison Barnes has really been like, I do love me some Harrison Barnes, believe me, but he goes through some stretches where, I mean, he really is kind of a no-show. And he's had a couple of those games recently where you're like, dude, you can't, like, we need like at least 15, like, you don't have to give 20, but like, we need like maybe like 15 consistently. Like, we can't have games where you're only putting up 3 or 4 points.
I don't think that's fair.
Not having, obviously not having Herter is tough, but like Barnes had 2 points the other night, against Brooklyn. Like, that's, I know that they won by 30, but like, man, that's not going to help. He had 0 against New York the other night. He only played 15 minutes. So Barnes really hasn't been playing well as of late. Not having Herter obviously is hurting from an offensive standpoint. And yes, when you lose Malik, who's, I would argue, maybe the heartbeat of the team, obviously that's going to be really hard to recover from.
This team's effed, man.
Who are we? Pelicans, Lakers, Warriors. Obviously, the Pelicans are the team that they we don't want to see. I don't, if the Pelicans are going to be in the play-in, I'd prefer the Lakers to jump us. I would prefer the Lakers to jump us so that way we could just take our chances with the Warriors.
I would much rather see the Pelicans leapfrog Phoenix.
Yes.
And the Kings have to play the Lakers. If they play the Warriors, I'm guaranteeing they're losing that game.
Yeah, so I agree. I think we agree as fans, we want the Lakers
or the Suns. I mean, to beat a team 5 times in one season, that's
it's hard.
That's crazy, especially a LeBron team.
Yeah,
where what's he's do? I mean, they've won 8 of their last 10. They're probably gonna lose this game. They're down 14 with 7 minutes left to the Warriors.
Thank goodness.
But which gives, I guess, keeps them in tied or puts the Kings probably a half game ahead.
Yeah.
I was gonna see what LeBron's doing.
I'm looking at the game the Kings have played against the Suns this year. So I don't know why Google's not helping me here.
LeBron is averaging 24 on 50% shooting from 3 and 56% from the field.
No,
in his last 10.
He's been going absolutely crazy. I mean, I know the other day he said, you know, he's not going to be playing for much longer, but I mean, he could if he wanted to, I guess.
Well, his son entered the draft, so there you go.
Yeah, but he also kept his college eligibility too. I think he's just testing the waters a little bit to sort of see, like, what the.
I bet a team drafts him.
You think?
Yeah. What do you have to lose? Second round pick? It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that would be in his best interest, though.
He gets to be in the NBA. I mean, that's the ultimate goal.
But if you're not playing right away.
He should not play right. I mean, well, that's
what I'm saying.
Well, he could be in the G League. Like, I bet the G League is probably a better place to develop your talents than college.
Yeah.
There you go, Bronny. Just come to Stockton.
Come to Stockton. Yeah, and then we'll give up Harrison Barnes, and then LeBron can come play.
Perfect.
That'd be great. That'd be a great starting five. De'Aaron, Keon, LeBron, Keegan, Sabonis. That's money.
It wouldn't be that because LeBron would be like, Bronny needs to start.
No.
I'd do it.
Sorry, LeBron.
I'd do it. Oh.
Either way, I don't know. it's really tough because I'm still hopeful that maybe, I mean, they're only a game and a half behind. I don't know how easy it would be for them to win out. They're playing against two teams that they haven't had a ton of success against this season. Obviously, the Pelicans, you and I have been talking about it all season. If they play the Pelicans, they're just going to lose by 500 points. It's almost a guarantee. The Suns, I feel like they could beat.
Yep.
The Trailblazers, they should beat. So it's, I don't know, it's hard to hold out hope because you see, like, oh, it's only a game and a half, and then the Suns are probably going to lose tonight. So, you know, maybe the Pelicans drop one against the Warriors. Like, maybe Steph gets really hot or LeBron gets really hot. It's certainly possible, but I think the fact that they have to play us, that's the pivot point. If we lose to the Pelicans or the Suns, then I don't think there's any chance. Like, if they were going to lose the game, it would have to be the Trailblazers one. They can't lose to the Suns or the Pelicans.
They can't lose out. They can't lose at all.
No, you're right. Like, in a perfect world, no, they can't. If they had to go 2-1, then the one that they would have to drop would be the Trailblazers. And that's tough because that means you have to beat the Pelicans, which over the past 2 years, they've proven just that's an impossible task for them.
Well, so if they were the way it is now, if they stay as the 8th seed, honestly, if they lose to the Pelicans, it's not the end of the world. As long as they stay as the 8th seed and the Pelicans get the win from beating the Kings beat the Suns drop. The Pelicans are the 6th seed. The Suns drop to the 7. It's Phoenix, Sacramento, 7 versus 8. And I like that chance, those chances for Sacramento. I know it's in Phoenix, but it's one game.
Yes, and they would also get two cracks at it too. Because then they would play the winner of the 9-10 game, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you don't want to leave your fate up to having to beat Golden State in Sacramento.
No, you don't. Absolutely not. I agree with you, but at least being 8 or higher gives you two shots at it.
No, totally. Yeah, totally. It's more advantageous for this team to be above the Lakers.
Which is hilarious to think about. Like, oh, your season ends on having to beat Kevin Durant, LeBron James, or Steph Curry.
Or a Zion Williamson-led Pelicans team who you have not even sniffed the entire season.
No, the Pelicans. If for those of you who haven't, well, you probably haven't watched those games because you probably just turned them off before halftime.
But
just can't crack the Pelicans.
Yeah, no, it's just not a good matchup. But if they were to lose to the Pelicans, would theoretically jump Phoenix because Sacramento would beat Phoenix and the Pelicans would beat Phoenix as well. To jump Phoenix, Sacramento has the tiebreaker over Phoenix because they would win the season series 3-1, correct?
I thought the Suns have it at 2-1 right now. I'm looking back at the Kings schedule. The last time that they played the Suns, it wasn't too long ago. Yeah, it was back in February. So the Suns won that game 130-125. And then back up in January, it was 119-117. The Suns won that game.
Oh, it is 2-1. Okay.
And then, they won in December. That's when the Kings, so they would be 2-2.
Yeah, well, never mind. Doesn't matter then.
Yeah, it's tough.
I was just
it's
trying tough. To think.
They're not in a good spot. Like,
if the Kings could get the tiebreaker over, which I don't know if, depending on like how many, what their records are against Western Conference teams, who knows, but it's, if the Kings had the tiebreaker, then you could somehow find a way to lose to New Orleans and still end up with a 7th seed, which would be, I think, ultimate best case.
Well, right now the Kings actually have a better conference record than the Pelicans. They don't than the Suns. The Suns are 25-15. The Kings are 23-15. So, you know, if they win against all three Western Conference opponents,
yep,
then maybe. But as of right now, they don't have a better record than the Suns against the conference. I'm trying to pull up quickly The Pelicans, yeah. So the Kings lost by 33 against the Pelicans in January.
Oops.
So that one wasn't great. The quarterfinal and the in-season tournament was 127-117, so they didn't get obliterated there.
Oh, that game was not close. They must have cut it.
It wasn't. And then the Kings, well, the closest that they played them was way back in November. It was 112-117. So a little bit of improvement there. But again, like, just trust us when we say that, like, the Pelicans have been impossible for the Kings to beat over the last two, three seasons for whatever. It's just not a good, it's not a good matchup for them. And neither is, quite frankly, the Timberwolves. So if the Kings don't win their first play-in game and then they have to play the Timberwolves, that's not a great matchup either.
And just make the dance and then everything will sort itself out.
Yep. Would you rather play Minnesota or Denver?
Minnesota.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, their offense just in the fourth quarter gives, I think, the Kings, like, those teams are polar opposites. Denver just operates so efficiently in the fourth quarter and they don't beat themselves, but I think Minnesota is a little more volatile in that way.
True. Just the Kings have had way more success against the Nuggets recently.
Yeah, but that's the regular season. Like, you never really know. It's like, schedule-wise, maybe, like, yeah, you just never really know in that case. And I thought the Kings have beaten Minnesota twice this year.
I do think that they have. I'm more pulling over that, like, past, like, two or three seasons. Like, they've just been – like, I remember last year in the playoffs, you and I were talking, like, oh, yeah, if they get through the first round, who do we not want them to see? And I seem to remember talking endlessly about how the Timberwolves were one of them.
You talked about it, yeah.
You definitely did too.
No, I did not.
You are a host of
the I show. Hate when you put words in my mouth.
Okay.
This happens all the time, Jason.
All the time. I'm pointing at you right now too.
Are you? Oh no.
Oh no. So let's move away from the Kings for a
please.
Second.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yes.
Please.
It's like a breath of fresh air just came into my room.
I know. The 4-5 matchup right now between the Clippers and the Mavericks, that's going to be must-see TV.
Dude, are the Mavericks the second-best team in the West?
Right now they are, yeah. I think so.
With how well Kyrie is playing with Luka?
Is Luka the MVP?
No.
You don't think so?
No. Not for a fifth seed team.
See, I keep hearing a bunch of people say, like, you just have to give it to Luka because of his assist number and the fact that he's, like, lapping the field right now in terms of, like, points per game.
No. That'd be stupid. So, he's not over Jokic, he's not over Giannis, he's not over SGA. No way.
I don't think you could give it to Giannis.
I'm not saying you give it to I think Jokic is winning the award. But those guys have all been in front of Luka. And Luka's been in the top five this entire year. And, yes, they've had a great run to end this season. But I don't think he's just all of a sudden the MVP of the league because of the last month of the season.
Right. Well, then that means have we ever had a back-to-back-to-back MVP?
Embiid won last season.
Oh, right. I forgot. That's right. That's
right. Yeah.
Right.
To answer your question, I don't think so.
I forgot about the Embiid thing because I just haven't been thinking about him this season because obviously he's been hurt.
He's back.
Yeah, he would. I think he probably would have won it this year had he stayed healthy.
Dude, he looked better than he did last year for sure.
Yeah, he was destroying everybody. Also, side note, I'm just going to put this out here just because I find it interesting. I'm looking at stats right now because we were talking about MVPs and I was just kind of looking at, you know, totality for everybody.
Right.
And I went down and I saw the top players right now for 3-point percentage. This list is fascinating.
Grayson Allen
is number two. And I'm not sure you could name anybody else on this list. If I gave you three guesses, I don't
think is Malik Beasley still on there?
Nope.
Dang it. How many attempts are we talking about for these 3-point percentages?
That's it doesn't specify. I just have the percentage leaders right now, and I'd be shocked if you got anybody outside of Grayson Allen.
Okay, you got to give me some, like, either conferences, divisions. What are we talking
about? So they're all in the Western Conference except for the number one percentage leader right now. But everybody else is in the Western Conference.
Number one is not in the West. Is he on – it's like we're playing 20 questions. Is he, like, on Boston?
No, he's on a bottom-tier team.
Ooh, interesting. Well, he's not Jordan Poole. We can sort that out.
He's 9 seed and below.
Ooh, in the East. Is below. It like, is he a teammate of Jordan Poole?
No.
I was thinking, Advia.
Something like that. Here, I'll give this to you because you. I don't even know if you know this who this person is because as much as I know about NBA players, I don't even know this guy. Garrison Matthews.
No, couldn't have named that. Nope.
He's leading right now with 46.7%. And then
on how many attempt, like what kind of attempt numbers are we talking about here?
So I'm looking at his most recent games.
Well, that doesn't answer that question.
The last three, he put up 6, then he put up 6, then he put up 10. It looks like, I mean, he plays about 20 minutes a game. So
my gosh. This guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember when the Kings played them, and I was like, who the heck is that guy?
I know. And then the other three on this list, Luke Kennard.
Yeah, okay.
And then we have at 4, we have, where'd it go? My stupid list. It's Norman Powell.
I knew that one, yeah.
And then number 5 is the everybody's favorite veteran, Mike Conley Jr.
Okay, Mike Conley having a good year.
That is their 5. I wonder, okay, when we have Josh on next, I'm pop quizzing him to see if he can name at least 3 people on that list. Because that is the most hodgepodge group of NBA players I've ever seen.
Garrison Matthews ain't coming up in that conversation.
No, and then also, side note, like 3-pointers made. You have some usuals on here. Steph Curry at 1 by a wide margin. Luka, Clay. And then sneaking into the list is Paul George.
He's having a great year, dude.
Yeah, and then Dante DiVincenzo at 3.
He's also having a great
having a great year as well. It's just some interesting players on some of these lists. I haven't looked at these lists in a while. Victor Wembanyama right now, 3.6 blocks per game. The next closest is Brook Lopez at 2.4. That's a chasm for blocks.
Is he defense? Should Victor Wembanyama win Defensive Player of the Year?
Probably. I know that Draymond just gave him the nod the other day.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, let's give it to him then.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, because Draymond is the authority for all of that.
He thinks he is.
I just also Wembanyama just. This may not be interesting to anybody, but they just revealed like his personal logo. It's absolutely sick.
His personal logo?
Yeah, like you know how.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And his nickname is the Alien, so they sort of played into that.
I think I've seen it
with his logo, and it's awesome. It's very cool. It's very cool. But we're getting sidetracked a little bit. Back to the playoffs. That 4-5 matchup, I believe, is kind of set in stone now because the Thunder are 4 games ahead of the Clippers and the Mavericks are 2.5 games against the Suns. So unless the Mavericks completely collapse and the Suns just win everything, I think that 4-5 matchup's pretty solidified for the most part. 3-6 obviously is up for debate because it could be the Suns, it could be the Pelicans. I guess in theory it could be the Kings, and hell, it even could be the Lakers because they're tied right now with the Kings. So that'll be really interesting. And then in the Eastern Conference, man, I think everybody – I don't know about you, but I'm hoping that the matchup holds right now, that somehow, some way, we end up getting the Bucks and the 76ers. the first round to have Doc Rivers going up against the 76ers, I think that would be amazing.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then maybe getting Miami versus Boston.
Yep.
In the first round would be electric.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The it's crazy to me too, because you know, and we talk about the parity all the time in you know, the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. But right now the 10th seed is the Warriors with 43 wins, and then the 10th seed in the East is the Hawks with 36. It is absolutely ridiculous how tight the Western Conference is. And it's, I mean, the West has always been fairly tight. But for whatever reason this year, it just seems even more so. I know last year was crazy too. Like the Pelicans had 42 wins and they were ninth. And the Kings were third and were 48. And even like the Suns were fourth and had 45 wins. So like not a huge disparity there. But this, honestly, this brings me to a point that I wanted to bring up. Like, I absolutely love, obviously, that the Kings are now a good team. They're a playoff team.
Are they?
They are. But why does everybody else have to be? You know?
It was so much more fun last year when everyone was having bad years except for the Kings.
Like, I remember the days when the Clippers sucked. That was fun. I remember when the Pelicans were irrelevant and the Lakers stunk, and you know the Grizzlies had a were bad, and like it's not, the Spurs are bad now and the Jazz are actually bad now. They were good for a while. The Rockets had a run where they were really good. They're bad now. Like why do 10 teams in the Western Conference have to be 40 plus win teams, like at the same time that the Kings got good? It's just, that sucks.
Yeah, doesn't it also put into perspective, like, it took the Kings, gosh, probably some, it was probably 17 years to get to 40 wins again.
Yeah.
And Houston has a chance to get to 40 wins this season. Mm-hmm. And that's just, they've had some good stretches, but like, that's just not a good team.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it kind of just highlights the ineptitude of the Kings during that stretch. Like, they could just not get to 40 wins.
No, they couldn't. No, and the 2018-2019 season I have right here, they were at 39 wins. They were 39-43.
And that season was so much fun with Dave Yeager.
It was. It was. I missed it, truthfully.
So we're back to the Kings, huh?
Well, we're just going back. I was just making the point about, you know, the Kings and how tight everything is. And just even in the West, like the Western Conference, obviously, it's always been really – really kind of cluttered, but it just stinks that the same time that everything sort of seems to be like turning the corner for the Kings, everybody else seems to be turning the corner as well, or like just getting better. And like, if everybody could just drop off for a season or two, that'd be great.
It's honestly misfortune for Dallas and the Clippers, because I think both of those teams match up really well against the other teams in the West, because you have two guys in Luka and Kawhi that can go pretty much toe-to-toe and out-duel all of the stars, I think, that's left in the West, except for Jokic and maybe Kevin and Booker, some combination of that. But those guys are kind of the scariest nuclear weapons that are in the West. And it just kind of sucks that they've fallen to playing each other in the first round.
Yeah, well, so to that, like, Kawhi Leonard is out right now.
Yep. But Paul George is picking up the slack.
Yeah. So I don't – like, there was a tweet, it looks like today, I'm on SB Nation, and it was Kawhi Leonard is not with the team in Phoenix for tonight's game, but that's to be expected with the forward being ruled out and the Clippers coming back in to play Los Angeles tomorrow. Right knee soreness is something that popped up after last game. He went back to Los Angeles for better treatment. Lou hopes that he can play Thursday night against the Nuggets. So it doesn't seem serious.
No.
But I talked to a Clippers fan today at the gym, and he's down on the Clippers right now. He's like, yeah, I don't really have any confidence for the matchup.
Well, their defense just has kind of fallen off. But I think if you give Kawhi the ability to just hone in on a matchup for a series where he can, I mean, pretty much put his body on the line for that series, I think he turns into a completely different player. I think the same with Paul George. Harden is a different story, I guess. Like, they kind of benched him in one of the recent games in the closing stretch and just played Paul George with, like, Mann and Norman Powell and all those guys. But Paul George has been amazing this year. He's a pretty much 50-40-90 guy. He's played in 72, well, counting tonight, 73 games this season for Paul George, who we've put as one of the poster childs for load management. It's just been absolutely crazy.
Yeah. And so the Clippers won tonight against the Suns. So that's going to drop Phoenix. I don't know how far that's going to drop them, but that is going to drop them down. And I think that's probably going – well, I guess in theory the Mavericks could pass the Clippers, but they'd still end up playing each other. That's going to be a really interesting race to see, because right now the Clippers and Mavericks really are just competing against each other for who's going to get home court advantage.
Right.
Which do they – I don't think they play each other.
No.
No, the Mavericks have – okay, so the Mavericks play the Heat tomorrow. That'll be a tough game. But then they get the Pistons.
Tough game.
Win that game by 100. And then they play the Thunder to close the season. And I don't know. The Clippers get – oh, yeah, they have back-to-back games against the Suns. Yeah. And then they close with the Jazz and the Rockets. It's – I mean, the schedule, I think, favors the Clippers a little bit right there. So but I'm really looking forward to the playoffs this year. I think we're going to get some really cool matchups round one in each conference. And I'm just, like I said, I'm hoping and praying that we get the Bucks 76ers in round one. That would just be beautiful to see.
I'm hoping the Kings make it.
You know, I'm on that boat too. I've got my cowbell right here. So he's right on my desk. It stays right on my desk. When do our boys play next? Do they play? They play Thursday. Oh, that's the Pelicans game.
Wait, what number were you looking at?
For what?
The Kings are 29-20 against the conference.
Where is it? Dun, 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 dun.
They have the better record against the conference than both Phoenix and New Orleans.
Oh, I was looking at home and away. That's what I was looking at. My bad. The 23-15. Yeah, okay. So that's my bad. You're right. They do. They have the better conference record than both the Suns and the Pelicans. So yeah, okay. I mean, that does change things a little bit.
I think that's the tiebreaker, right?
I don't know why it wouldn't be. You know, like why? Like logically, I don't know if that is, but I don't know where else you'd go other than conference record. If you split 2-2. Then that just seems like the most logical place to go.
Or is it like division record? Because they're both in the same division. I don't know.
Well, yeah. But I feel like for the Western Conference playoff, I think it would make sense that your conference record be what gets you there.
Well, the Kings have a way better record within the division anyway. So that doesn't really matter.
Right. So that does make things a little bit more interesting for the Kings then.
Yeah, it makes it a whole lot. I mean, this is a – yeah, they just got – that game, is it in Phoenix? No, it's in Sacramento. Aren't you going to that game too?
I might be. I might be. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, I think I'm going to be there. That's a huge game.
Yeah, it's massive.
That might be for the 8th seed. It, for the 7th seed, I'm sorry.
It very well could be.
Holy, this team could limp their way into the 7th seed.
And honestly, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they get to the 6th seed either.
No, it's gone. It's done.
It's done. I was going to say, a few things would have to break their way, but it's, yeah. I don't know, it's tough. I'm getting nervous. I'm getting nervous. I'm clenched.
Oh right? My gosh, that game on Friday is a back to, is the second game of a back to back.
Yep.
Oh, that's the most important game of the season.
After playing the Pelicans, too. Thank goodness it's not a road to home back to back, you know?
Oh, that would be murder. At least they get the last three games at home. That is kind of favorable.
Yeah, that is nice. But it's not like they've been great at home.
No, they have not. They have not taken care of the beam.
No, they haven't. No, the beam has not been beaming all that much. Unfortunately. Do you have any closing thoughts? Because I think by the time we meet next for this show, we're going to have a pretty good understanding. Yeah, we're going to know exactly where everybody falls.
Man, that could be either a really exciting podcast or the most depressing podcast.
yes. Yes, it could be.
Hey, guys. the Kings are going to be playing the Warriors in the 10-9 matchup. So, yay.
That game would do so – if that is what happens, that's going to do so well nationally.
It would be – hotly contested.
Oh yeah. But man, it would be so satisfying if they did win that game.
It would. To always, whenever you can beat the Warriors, I think that's pretty important. Even though this is like a shell of what the Warriors are, it still would be nice to beat them.
Exactly.
No, when's Monk supposed to be back?
So I believe when he got injured, they said the timeline was about 4 weeks. So I don't think we're going to get it back. I think they'd have to make it into the playoffs for him to see him back.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure. Maybe he tries to come back early. But I think the timeline for the injury was like 4-ish weeks, 3 at the minimum if everything goes right. So yeah, it's a really tough loss. That's a big blow.
Oh, he's one of my he's one of your favorites. He's one of my favorites. I think he's one of Sacramento's favorites.
I think he's honestly just a city favorite.
He's got to come back, man.
I know. If he said he would like to. So,
well, of course everyone says that. They got to make some moves though. This team's got to be dramatically different.
I think Harrison Barnes has to be gone next season.
You're picking on Harrison for some reason.
I'm sorry. I feel like that three spot is something that they absolutely can like drastically improve on.
They don't have a lot of they got Kevin Herter. They got they don't have a lot of pieces to move that teams would be like, yeah, we want him.
Yeah. I think it would have to be Davion Herter.
Oh, don't get rid of Davion.
I don't want to get rid of Davion, but what I'm saying is that if we, in terms of attractive pieces, and then it would have to be a lot of draft compensation, I think.
Dang.
And then probably Fox, too. No, I don't think there's any way they get rid of Keegan. So
at least we're not fans of the Brooklyn Nets. That's all I'm happy about.
The Nets. Yeah. Or the Pistons for that matter.
Oh, the Pistons have their own picks.
Well, that's true. That's fair. All right. Well, any closing thoughts before we head on out?
Congrats to you, man.
For? What did I do?
Employment?
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, new job. New job, yeah, that.
Wait, what did I do? You got kind of defensive there.
Yeah, I was like, what did I do? so we'll see how that goes next week. I still don't have my schedule yet. I have no idea when I'm supposed to be there, so we'll see.
I'm just going to call you and be like, Jason, where are you? You're supposed to be here.
I'm still in Chico, guys.
Today is your orientation.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. Have enough
for that. Next week's a big week. Oh, last thing, sorry. Masters.
Oh, yes.
Masters is this weekend. Again, right on time every year.
the hype for Tiger getting to six. There is no effing way Tiger is winning this tournament.
Not any chance.
Like, he hasn't even finished a tournament in what seems like 2 years.
That's true.
Scottie Scheffler's got, I mean, he's... Whew.
From NY Post, title of the article, Tiger Woods is fooling himself at the Masters.
Okay, that's kind of mean.
It is a little mean.
That's like, Tiger Woods has midlife crisis at the Masters.
Tiger Woods has no idea what the hell he's doing playing this weekend.
Tiger Woods plays lefty at the Masters?
NBC Sports, long shot. Tiger Woods hopes everything comes together at the Masters.
Damn.
Long shot. That's rough.
I mean, it's true, though.
It is. No, it is. Yeah, I agree. Who's the front runner in this?
Scottie Scheffler, for sure. Dude's on fire on the PGA Tour. He's won the Masters before. I think that's a pretty easy one.
Man, some of these guys got to start at 5 a.m. That's rough.
Is it 5 a.m. our time?
It just says 5 a.m. for tee times.
It could be. Yeah, it could be 5 a.m. on the East Coast.
That's tough. That is tough. And then all the way back sitting at 11, you got Dustin Johnson, Fleetwood. They're sitting there at 11. They get to sleep in.
Man, those live guys got it nice.
Yeah, not have a care in the world. What time you got to be there? Ooh, yeah. How does like somewhere around noon? Could I get started? I need a breakfast. Like the whole 5 a.m. thing. Not really gonna.
I'd golf at 5 a.m.
Not gonna. I would too. I would too. But at the Masters, that's brutal. That's brutal.
You could let me practice for a year and before I played at Augusta, and yep, it'd still be brutal.
I played the other day for the first time in a couple months.
How'd it go?
I didn't do amazing.
Was it at the Augusta of Chico?
It was.
Oh, okay.
It was much greener now that it's been raining. It was beautiful. I birdied the last hole, so that was a nice way to end.
Sick.
Got a couple pars along the way, but had too many doubles.
I didn't get to see the last hole.
Yeah, I know. It was it's basically just straight, and you just get to rip it from the tee box.
Oh, I hate those holes. Those don't really fit my shot shape, you know.
I know, mine fades right, so I right. Which sucks because every hole there, dog legs left. So it just doesn't work for me. So, but I'll be looking forward to playing more down in Roseville. So that'll be.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll find a way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Like Sam said, next week will either be optimistic or not at all. So we'll see how that goes. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the remaining days of the NBA season, and we will see you all very soon.
See ya.